Coming up on KUCB News, state lawmakers may be close to ending their legislative session, and Alaska seafood processors are headed to China. Stay tuned.
Local news is sponsored by Alpha Welding and Boat Repair Incorporated, providing boat repairs and conversions in Unalaska Dutch Harbor for the last 25 years. Our professionals are trained to use heavy-duty equipment, including boom trucks, shears, brakes, a water jet cutting machine, and a punch machine. Our fully equipped metal fabrication welding shop and machine shop are located at 1149 East Broadway. Alpha Welding and Boat Repair can be reached at 581-1785 or 581-2666.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle with some local news on Monday, April 30th, 2018. For the next 2 years, Unalaska's Brian Conwell is serving as a youth ambassador to the Arctic Council. The high school senior recently attended the Arctic Encounter Symposium in Seattle, where he met with leaders like U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski and Lieutenant Governor Byron Mallott. KUCB sat down with Conwell upon his return to hear what our policymakers have planned.
Lisa Murkowski, she mentioned that her goal was security. And for some people, security means different things. But for her, like she said, as a parent, security is knowing your child will have a secure future. And not necessarily like militarily being secure, but definitely diplomatic security. For Byron Mallott, his, I guess, view of the Arctic is really Alaska-centric. He really wants to see Alaska become a leader in the Arctic because there are certainly places where Alaska can step up a little bit more.
So you're hearing a lot of different Alaska leaders share their visions for the Arctic. But what has been your big takeaway, Brian? What do you want to see from the future of the Arctic?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that I took away from this was the importance of local input and indigenous input, because it was funny. It was a symposium about the Arctic in Seattle. Seattle is an Arctic. And two of our speakers were representatives from Washington. And yeah, Washington isn't in the Arctic. One of the speakers did a really great job of pointing this out. She said that having the Arctic Encounter Symposium in Seattle is like having a symposium on Africa in Tokyo. Like, it just doesn't make sense. And I know it's really convenient for everyone to fly into Seattle, but I think it'd be more helpful. It'd be more like leading by example if we chose as a body to have our symposium in Alaska or anywhere in the Arctic, really.
It sounds like you're seeing some of the frustrations or imperfections that emerge when you're talking through big issues like this with people who are coming from a lot of different places and perspectives. So I wonder how you describe the overall tone of this meeting. Did you see optimism? Any butting heads?
I did see some butting heads when it came to climate change, actually. I think someone said if everyone just stopped using electricity, stopped using anything that would emit carbon, Alaska's impact would be negligible. And I would disagree with that because I think your mindset has to be that no matter how little the change, it's necessary in like reaching this goal of a sustainable energy future for the world. And so there was butting heads saying, why are we using our Alaskan resources to help fix this environment that really, even if we were perfect, we wouldn't even make a dent, which is kind of disheartening. But I think that there are enough people that believe in our power to make a change, however little, that, you know, we're going to make progress.
And beyond climate change, what other issues did you focus on? I know you really care about education.
I was able to talk to one of the head people at ANSEP about when high schoolers in Alaska go to college, they need to take like remedial classes most of the time. He had a study that said half of the people from Unalaska have to take remedial classes when they go to college in the UA system. And there are places like Mount Edgecombe where 70% have to take remedial classes. 50% is actually one of the best in the state, which is also disheartening. And basically his thoughts were that we need to be more rigorous about our education, and also education in rural areas is kind of a way to break that cycle of rural poverty. If local school boards and local decision makers decide to commit their community to having rigorous standards for their education, which I think our school board's doing a fine job at, it's just that our entire state needs to know about the issue and also care about the issue enough to stick their neck out for students in rural places that might need extra resources to succeed at the college level.
That was Brian Conwell, a high school senior from Unalaska. He'll serve as a youth ambassador to the Arctic Council through 2019, representing Alaska and the Aleutian Islands at the international level. An Alaska delegation will explore new trade opportunities in China at the end of May. The group includes tourism businesses, native corporations, and seafood processors like Icicle and Trident Seafoods. The trip is part of a trade mission that Governor Bill Walker announced earlier this year. China is the top consumer of Alaska's goods, and Walker says he wants to deepen those ties. 26 groups will travel with the state during the 11-day trip, meeting with potential customers and government officials. They'll also be traveling with Alaska's Gas Line Development Corporation, which is working to develop a $45 billion project to export natural gas. State officials want China to finance the bulk of it. Alaska's legislative session could be coming to an end. House Speaker Bryce Edgman says his goal is for lawmakers to leave Juneau soon.
I'm doing everything I can to make that a matter of days and not weeks.
A major piece of the end of session talks is a bill to draw from Alaska Permanent Fund earnings to pay for state government. Eagle River Senator Anna McKinnon says the session's been delayed by the complexity of the bills that lawmakers are working on. And on top of that, she says a rewrite of the state's alcohol regulations and workers' compensation laws is still possible.
Right now, I'm optimistic. It's like a roller coaster here, though. Today, you're all going the same direction, and then you find, you know, an amendment somewhere that might throw a brick in the road. But we're trying to make sure that those bricks are talked about instead of fought about.
One issue that has become controversial is Medicaid spending. APRN's Andrew Kitchenman has more.
Governor Bill Walker's administration asked for $92 million to cover Medicaid costs that weren't budgeted for this year. The legislature funded $45 million of that earlier this session, but they haven't budgeted for the rest, and payments for Medicaid claims will stop in mid-May if the legislature doesn't act. Shonda O'Brien is the Assistant Commissioner for the Department of Health and Social Services.
If the supplemental is not passed, if we don't get the additional funding for the supplemental for the current year, that payments will have to be pushed into the next fiscal year, which then creates an even greater shortfall for us in the next fiscal year.
And the Senate has already proposed cutting $70 million from next year's Medicaid budget. O'Brien says if the legislature doesn't budget the supplemental money, it could cause funding problems for healthcare providers, ranging from smaller hospitals to providers in areas like opioid addiction treatment.
Then we have to delay payment to providers until the next fiscal year, which has a direct impact on the ability for them to serve people. Some of those providers might have to close their doors and go out of business.
Senator Anna McKinnon says the department must take steps to reduce costs.
The department needs to figure out that we have a budget crisis going on, and they need to get their house in order.
But department officials note the costs are driven by mandates the legislature has given them. So Medicaid spending is one of many moving pieces that lawmakers will discuss in the session's closing days or weeks. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
Musher Hugh Neff is pushing back against the Yukon Quest sled dog race, which has banned him from next year's competition for poor dog care. Race officials censured the two-time champion last week after a necropsy found his dog Boppy was in very poor health before he died in this year's race. In a video posted to Facebook, Neff said he'll appeal the disciplinary action, which he's characterized as a personal attack.
I'm not going to go in front of a board of people that I know don't like me and won't respect my word to get them to try to change their minds, which this is the opportunity they've been waiting for.
Veterinarians were unavailable for comment, but their necropsy found that Boppy had stomach ulcers, intestinal inflammation, worms, severe weight loss, and muscle wasting. The Quest has never before disciplined a musher for poor dog care, and under the censure, Neff is banned from the 2019 Quest and must compete in the shorter Quest 300 before he can register for the 1,000-mile race again. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Laura Craigle, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.